that you're here. It's a blessing, Sister Donna. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord with each and every one of you tonight. I'm so always excited to be able to gather together, because you bring Jesus, I bring Jesus, and that gives us an opportunity to worship Him and to honor Him and just to bask in His presence. Amen. And where in His presence things happen. Before we get started, Brother Ryan, would you put John 17:21 up here? This will set the theme for what we're talking about tonight. John 17:21. I'm glad to have Brother Ryan back. I appreciate him so much. Notice what Jesus says. He says, this is the perfect prayer. This is where He's praying for you and I, for the church, to the Father, before He goes to the cross. And He says, that they may all be one. Everybody in the body of Christ, that we may all be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. What a powerful prayer. And just think, Jesus prayed this for us. Amen. And so, in your life, in my life tonight, we've got fact, and we've got truth, and we've got feelings, and we've got faith. And faith trumps everything. Faith changes everything. And so, write this on the table of your heart. We're going to talk about the Savior's solution for separation. The Savior's solution for separation. And we're going to look at a scripture that you know very well, but I never until this week thought about it in this form and fashion, but it's very timely for where we're at in America right now. Amen? All right. Acts chapter 17 for our text. Acts chapter 17, verse number 1. Acts 17, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. We can only talk to people by the Word of God. Amen. They won't hear anything that will change them unless it's the power of the Word of God. But it will change people's lives. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, is the Anointed One. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Jews a great multitude, and of the chief women, thank God for women, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them a certain lewd fellows of baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. Now you hold verse 5 in your mind. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down, and are come hither also, whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people, and they troubled the people, and the rulers of the city, when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. Brother Corey, would you pray?
God, we thank you once again that we have this opportunity to be able to come into this place, the body of believers, to come into this house of worship.
Yes.
Just to be able to worship you, lift you up, and to be able to learn from your word, be led by your spirit into all truth. And as we get into the word tonight, Lord, I thank you that we have the opportunity to learn from your word.
Yes. Yes.
And we know that you're going to have to do this boldly and in your spirit. We thank you for all of this once again.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Corey. Thank you for honoring the word. I wrote this down. I want to read it to you because I didn't memorize it. But, right now in the world, there's 10 official wars. Think about this. Now, we're talking about not being separated. We're talking about unity. And so there's 10 official wars. There are 8 active military conflicts that are recognized by our government, by the United States. Now, notice this. These conflicts involve 64 countries and 578 different militias. And in the year of 2019, there were 76,021 deaths in Syria because of these conflicts, 50,000 plus deaths in the Sudan, 24,000 plus deaths in Iraq, 14,838 deaths in Afghanistan. That's not exactly unity, is it? So there's a lot of separation in the world. There's a lot of problems in the world. And there's only one answer to those problems, to those struggles, and His name is Jesus, right? And so when we look at our text tonight, we look at this in Acts chapter 17, we look at a scene that is very familiar. We look at a city that is being tore apart. What have we seen this year, this past year in 2020, from Portland, Oregon? We could go plumb across America and look at riot after riot after riot, division, separation, trouble on every corner, people not understanding each other, and other people being moved by, I'm sorry, but it's not by anything other than greed. The ones who are causing most of this trouble are being bought and paid for. To be able to stir up trouble. Speaking of that, I wrote it down. I want to read you this verse 5 in the CEV. In Acts 17:5 in the CEV, it says, the Jewish leaders were jealous and got some worthless bums who hung around the marketplace to start a riot in the city. They wanted to drag Paul and Silas out to the mob, so they went straight to Jason's home. That's what the CEV says. Now, I like that because notice the King James talked about these lewd fellows, these hurtful, evil fellows of a baser sort. And that word baser sort means those who are in the marketplace. In other words, they can be bought and paid for. And so in the world today, sadly, there's a lot of people who will do anything for money. They'll do anything to be able to better themselves in this moment of time. And so as we look here, Paul and Silas, they're about their master's business, trying to bring unity, trying to bring a Savior to a group of people who can have their lives forever changed. Well, as we went through this past 2020, the year of this pandemic and all of these trials and troubles, there's many things that have hurt people and have brought separation and caused all of these problems. And so as we're starting this new year of influence, we've got to be in the place and the position that we recognize that if Jesus is preached, if Jesus is taught, if He's presented to people just by your everyday life, there's going to be some, it's going to make them mad, it's going to aggravate them. But as we read in these verses of Scripture, there's going to be some that's going to hear, and they're going to receive. And God knows exactly who to save and to sanctify and to deliver at the right time that will cause His movement, the flow of the Spirit, to change a whole community. Come on, He can do it. He can do it. And so we've got to be in the place of expectancy. Now, you've got to expect that you're going to meet the enemy. But at the same time, at the level that the enemy comes against you, God has a grace that's greater. He has a plan for your life that will always deliver you from the plot of the enemy. And you can count on that. You can bank on that. That's your confidence. And so tonight I want us to see some things. And we could spend a lot of time here in Acts, but I don't want to hold you long. I want us to get into the place where we can let the Spirit of God just talk to us in the altar service. I want you to go with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms 34, and I want you to look at a verse of Scripture that you can quote, but I want you to see it in a different light tonight because I never saw it this way before. And I believe if you and I will see this verse in this light, it will empower us because, see, the devil don't want you and I to go by feelings. By faith, he wants us to go by feelings. He wants us to be upset with people. He wants us to look at what's happening, and because if I go by feelings, my feelings are going to separate me from the love of God, the plan of God, the will of God to be able to reach other people. And so I need something that's going to loose faith in my life. I need something that's going to keep me focused on the love and the plan of God, where I won't fall to the trickery, to the seducing spirit of the enemy. Amen? So in Psalms 34, let's start in verse 15. Psalms 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. You know that. Aren't you glad of that? So the Lord is looking at you and he's listening for you. Come on. Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. I know that we say it all the time, but I want it to be the very forefront of your mind. I want you to hold it in your heart continually. Jesus Christ was made sin that you could be made righteous. So you're in the place to hear from the Lord. Amen. So the face of the Lord is against them, verse 16, that do evil, to cut off remembrance of them from the earth. So this word evil, remember those lewd fellows, they're hurtful and they're evil. They're going to be cut off unless somebody reaches them. Even God wants them saved. Amen. They're under the influence of a hindering evil spirit, just like you and I were before. And so they need grace just like we need grace. So we need to have a love that's greater than their hurt. We need to have a love that is greater than what they're trying to operate in. And that love is the everlasting, the eternal love of God that never fails. Amen? Verse 17. The righteous cry, you and I, we talk to the Lord, we cry out, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivers them out of all of their troubles. So every bit of your affliction, every bit of your pressure that is in your life is troubles, pressure. When pressure comes on your mind, when pressure comes on your body, when pressure comes on your job, when pressure comes in your relationships, and especially in this day and age, your time, when pressure is on your time, where you just don't seem like you can make it, you have a confidence that you can call out to the Lord. He's going to hear you. And since he holds time in the palm of his hand, guess what? He can make the impossible possible. He's the one that can do it. And so you're in this place, in this position. But see, you and I have got to see what we're feeling. We've got to see fact, but then we've got to see truth. And if those things don't line up with this word, we change it by our faith. Amen? And that's the key to being able to not being separated. Because everything in your life that happens that's negative, that's discouraging, it's the devil trying to separate you from the Savior. Because, see, that unity with the Savior brings you in perfect harmony and unity with the Father. And when we're in unity with the Father, we have all of heaven. We're in the kingdom. The kingdom's in us. And so the kingdom, there's no lack. There's no depression, no discouragement, no fear, none of those things. And that kingdom, Luke 17:21, is in you. Amen? All right. Now, stay with me. He said in verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saving such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, I want you to think about that. Your heart, the devil wants to break it with sin and heartache, but you and I, we let the Holy Spirit come into our heart and break all that hardness. And then, according to the Word of God, when we accept Jesus Christ, God does a transplant and he gives us a brand new heart. So all of those things that we used to identify with, and those things that used to try to label us, that would separate us from God's best and the place of peace, the place of promise, we don't identify with that anymore because we got a new heart. And he's nigh to us, we're nigh to him. Now look what happens. He save us such as be of a contrite or a crushed spirit. So in other words, it's kind of like what Peter said and James said, we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and he exalts us. When we have this contrite spirit, when we're humble before the Lord, you have the assurance that no matter what it feels like, no matter what your relationship or your situation looks like, that you got to put that fact and that feeling And you've got to change it by the faith that you have in thus saith the Lord. Amen? Because He promised He would save you. He would bring a deliverance. He would bring a victory in your life. So those things are there by the enemy to try to separate you from what is already yours. And because if He can separate us from that, then He can work in our lives to separate us from each other. But see, the closer I am to the Lord, the closer you are to the Lord, the harder He's going to be able to have in His attempt to separate us. Because that's our source of strength. Amen? All right, now we said all that to say this. Look at verse number 20, and then we'll jump back to 19. It says, He keepeth all of His bones. Now this is a Messianic Psalm. This is talking about Jesus. And I want you to think about this first. He keepeth all of His bones, and not one of them is broken. Now, we've all seen man's attempt to give us a mental image of Jesus, what He went through as He was beaten for us, as He went to the cross and then ultimately to the tomb for us. And we've saw man's attempt of that. And you know, if you saw the Passion of the Christ, they've done a very graphic detail of what Jesus looked like. But I want you to think about that's what we see in the natural. But let's take it to the spiritual. Your Lord, your Savior, He went and He met the devil on His terms. He took every shot that the devil had. He took every plot from the very foundation of what the devil was trying to instigate. He took all of that and He met it head on for you and for me. And the devil destroyed the body, but he could not break His bones. Now this is important. Now hold that thought, that mental image, and jump back and let's read verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. So, because Jesus went and He met the devil and every one of those, a third of those fallen angels that fell, He met every one of those demons at once for you and I. He met them head on in His weakness in the flesh, but His strength in the spirit. And they'd done everything they could to literally destroy Him. But the Bible told us that the Passover lamb, Brother Ryan, put Exodus 12:46. See, everything is a type and a shadow. And when God told Moses for us to partake of that Passover lamb that would bring us out of Egypt, out of bondage, He said that Passover lamb, not one bone was to be broken, right? Look, in one house, unity, no separation. In one house shall it be eaten, Jesus, the Passover lamb. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. Come on, we got to partake of it inside our house. Neither shall you break a bone thereof. Now this is talking about the lamb. And so, I want you to see that this command went forth because it was to show us that, and if we had time, we'd look at all the types and the shadows, but we don't. But you were to eat all of that lamb that night. Right? Not one bit of it was to be left over. And that's what we are to do to the Word of God. We're to partake of the Word of God and not say, well, I'll come back to that later. If it's time to eat it, it's time to eat it. Amen? In other words, if God's dealing with you about something, if He's dealing with me about something, I need to deal with that right now because He does it for my good. Because tomorrow, I'm going to meet a devil and I need that Word in me. I need that strength. I need that in me. And so, I can't break the Word. I can't say, well, I'll take this part, but I'm going to leave that. Amen? I've got to take it all. And so, I want you to see, many are your afflictions. And those afflictions are to separate you from God's best, God's promises, which will ultimately cause separation then in your personal life, in your public life, in on your job, and all of these things. But our Savior has a solution to separation. That solution is, I've got to come back to faith. And my faith is that Jesus met this devil in the fullest form, in the hardest way, and not one of His bones was broken. Now that's a powerful statement. Amen. You can step off of something and fall down and break a bone easily, you know. But here the devil come and they beat Jesus stripe after stripe. But they couldn't break his bone. Because God had prophesied from the foundation of the world that the Lamb would not be broken. That needs to encourage us tonight. Amen. God's promises will not fail. They will not be broken. I don't think we're understanding the impact here. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and let's see why this is so important. Look at verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 30. Now hold that prophecy in your heart. You there?
Yes.
Ephesians 5:30. For we are members, talking about Jesus, we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His... Woo! No separation. You are a member of the Savior who met the devil on the devil's terms and showed him he was righteous, showed him he was holy, showed him he was all-powerful, showed him that he was the victorious, anointed Savior of the Father. Amen? And now he's in you and you are in him. Jesus prayed the prayer that we might be one. Amen. No separation. No separation. So when the devil comes and he tries to tell you, you can't please God in this area. You can't be successful in this area. You can't do this. You can't do that. No, I serve a can-do God. I serve a God who made all things possible to me, to you, because we simply believe. Amen. All right. So let's get this in our mind, what this means to us. Because that means that if Jesus was able to meet every attack that the devil could plot out at once and win, that means that the Bible says that Jesus will not let you, 1 Corinthians chapter, will not let you be, in 1 Corinthians, will not let you be tempted, chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 10, will not let you be tempted above which you are able, but with that temptation make a way of... Come on, that's your Savior. All right, because Jesus meant everything. He done knows every play in the devil's playbook. And it didn't break Jesus. And now Jesus, He has took you into Himself, and He said, you are His body, you are His flesh, you are His bone. You can't be broken. When the devil comes and tells you this is going to happen, that's going to happen, you say, uh-uh, I am one with Jesus, and thus I'm one with the Father. You cannot break me. I have a solution to any separation you would try to bring in my life. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is what this ensures in your life, in my life tonight. Look at verse 22. Ephesians 1:22, talking about Jesus, and have put all things... God's an all kind of God, ain't He? And have put all things under His feet. Now, you're His body. So what does that mean? Come on, discouragement, hopelessness, anything that would separate you from the promises of God, discouragement, despair, anger, envy, jealousy, lust, all of these things. It doesn't matter what it is. It's under Jesus' feet. And that means it's under your feet. Amen? Now, Brother Ryan, put Luke 10:19 up there just for a second. Hold your place right here. Luke 10:19, we'll come right back. Behold, I give unto you, this is Jesus talking to His disciples, to the 70. Behold, I give unto you power, authority, to tread, to walk on. I give you power to walk on serpents, scorpions. These are avenues. This is what Jesus meant. When He met the enemy head on, this is different attributes of the demonic forces. In other words, the serpent in the garden was the one who come up to Adam and Eve, and he lied and he deceived them, because the Bible said he was the most subtle beast in the field. So Jesus said, I give you power to walk on deception. Anything that is a subtle attack of the enemy to bring deception in your life, I give you power to walk up on it. So all of a sudden, when something comes across the butt of your mind, and it kind of, it's like sandpaper on your spirit, you say, wait a minute. I don't think this looks like a fact, it looks like truth, but I'm going to put the faith of God on it and bring revelation to it, and then I'm going to what? If it's not of God, I'm going to walk on it. In Jesus' name, that's not going to swallow me, that's not going to impact me, because I know what Jesus said. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over some, come on, he's an all kind of, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now let's stop just for a second. Behold, I give you power. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, authority trumps power. I don't care how strong you are in the physical. If a police officer tells you to do something, you're going to do it. Sooner or later. Because he has the authority to tell you and I what to do. All right, so I want you to see that even though the devil seems like he's got a lot of power, you've got authority from Jesus Christ. Now, what did he do? He went and he took the authority back from the devil. Remember, Matthew 28, he said, verse 18, he said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. So he got back from the devil what the devil had tricked Adam into giving to him. So tonight, it's yours, it's mine. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And he hath put all things, verse 22, and he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now notice this. What's the church? Verse 23. Which is his body. Second witness to Ephesians 5:30. Say, I'm the body of Christ. So, if Christ has put everything under his feet, then everything is under your feet. So everything that would seem contrary to that is just the devil trying to separate you from God's promises, from God's best, which will in turn separate us from each other. You say, well, what has that got to do with our text? It's got everything to do with our text. Because in our text, they were bringing the Savior to a group of people who were lost and undone. And the moment that they started doing that, here come the devil. And the devil brought disruption. And he brought trouble. And the house of Jason, which had accepted Paul and Silas, they got into a lot of trouble in the natural. It's coming to a time when you and I make a stand for Jesus, it's going to cause some trouble in the natural. But it doesn't matter what trouble comes against you. Remember, Jesus said he gave you all power, all authority. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Then verse 19 of Psalms 34, but he delivereth you from them all. All. So we just got to stand strong, and we've got to change our situation. That even though it looks truthful, it may be a fact, but faith will change it. Amen? Faith caused that whole town to be changed. And that's what you're going to do. Amen? You're going to change your whole area of influence. Okay, now notice what he said. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You're full of Jesus. We've all heard the old slang, what people say they're full of, but you're full of Jesus. Now, if you're full of Jesus, whatever you're full of, when you get squeezed, that's what's going to come out. Glory! So when that enemy squeezes you, who is Jesus? Jesus is God's anointed one that represents, that demonstrates, Romans 5:8, the love of God. So when you get squeezed, the love of God is going to come out. It's going to be presented. And that love is what brings people together. So there may be a separation problem in the world, but Jesus is the Savior that brings people together. And you're his group of people that's going to be empowered to be able to do it. Amen? That's encouraging, isn't it? All right. So I'm a part of his membered body. You're a part of his membered body. And we have this understanding right here that he said that he's put all things under his feet. So when something comes up against you and your family, when something comes up against your mind, because that's where the battle is going to be most of the time, is in our mind, then you come back and you say, devil, this is what God says. I'm not going to receive what you say. So you bow right now in the name of Jesus. And by faith, and sometimes I do this and sometimes I fail, and you be quiet. But I literally got to step on it. By faith, it looks stupid to the world, to the natural, but in reality, you're saying, God, I want to change what I'm feeling. I want to change what's going on in and through my life, and I want to literally see it under the feet of Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's power. Amen. And that's your source. That's my source of victory. All right. Now, let's look here in this. In Galatians chapter 3, I want you to look at a verse with me. Verse 28. Very familiar verse. I know Sister Mary loves this verse. Sister Debbie, y'all talk about this verse a lot. Galatians 3:28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Unity. Unity. So here's the power in changing your circumstance, your situation. When the devil tries to bring separation, here's the solution. It's all right to have a differences of opinion because we're different people. But the devil likes to take a difference of opinion, and he likes to rear up a mountain. He likes to put a fog upon it. He likes to bring a destructive action in and out of it. And so your opinion, my opinion, all of our opinions, they count, and they're important. But we can't let the devil cause us to be separated by those. We can say, now, wait a minute. We are one because God said we're one. Now, this is important in your personal relationships, in your public relationships. You need to be able to be that one that lets Jesus be the one that bridges the gap. Amen? He's the one that can do it. He can take that separation and he can bring it together because that's what he is all about. Amen? All right. So when you're struggling in a situation, in a circumstance, you come back and you just refocus and you say, I thank you, Lord, that I'm one with you. I'm one with the Father. And I am one in this relationship. I'm one. And see, that's a solution that will empower you, that will empower me. Because, you know, James says in James 4:1, he said, from whence comes wars and fightings among you? He said, don't they come because of the flesh? But when you and I recognize and realize that Jesus walked in this flesh and he overcame it, and he said, because he overcome, we can overcome. So we don't have to have that, amen? I want to put a stop to it, don't you? I want to allow him to be glorified in my situation. I want to allow him to be all he wants to be to me and through me. Let's go back to Ephesians. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, he brings some great truth that we need to apply. And in closing, I want you to look at this, and I want you to let it just to encourage you. We can all have a bad moment. But see, the devil likes to let me turn that into a bad day. And then if I'm not careful, before I know it, it can turn into a bad week because he likes to snowball things. Paul gives us, by the Spirit of God, gives us instruction here how to keep that from happening. So Ephesians 4:1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein or wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing. And from the Greek, the word says to put up with. That's what forbearing means. To put, you know, some things we just got to put up with. Donna, I'm sorry, but some things you just got to put up with. But you do it by the grace of God. How do you do that? Verse number 3. Now notice, this is what I want you to take home with you tonight. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit by the bond of peace. And this word endeavoring is from a Greek word that means to use speed with diligence and effort. So how am I going to change my situation? How am I going to make sure that there's no separation to where the enemy can hurt and hinder me, my family, my relationships, the plan and the will that God would have for me? I'm going to encounter things. You're going to encounter things. But he said to endeavor, to be diligent and do it quickly. Now, diligence means you're going to have to do some things over and over, because diligent means you don't quit. Right. Some things we got to do over and over. And so he said to use speed in that. And in other words, the Bible says, I can be angry but sin not, because I need to what? I need to be quick to forgive. I need to use speed. So endeavoring to keep the unity, I diligently. With effort. So in other words, I'm going to have to push through some things. But when I'll endeavor, when I'll use this diligence with effort, when you use effort, you get stronger. Now, I don't know about you. Now, here's the lie the devil works on me with, okay? I'm endeavoring to do something because I'm going through this situation, this struggle, this attack to bring separation. And the devil gets in my ear and he says, boy, if you was growing, if you was getting anywhere, you wouldn't be here again. You ever heard that? But see, the Bible says for me to endeavor, to be diligent, to use speed, but to make an effort. That means every time that I'm in that situation, if I'm using effort, if you're using something, you're getting stronger. So the devil's trying to tell us that we're getting weaker, but we're really getting stronger. And stronger and stronger. So when he does that, by faith, laugh at him. The hardest thing you can do, but if you can make yourself laugh and not show on your face that you don't believe it, because sometimes I don't believe it, but he will not hang around, because he's just like you and I. He does not like to be laughed at. But he won't hang around you. He will flee because you're laughing. That laughing by faith turns into laughing by the Spirit. I love to laugh by the Spirit. I can feel so bad. You can too. I can feel bad in body and mind. I can be discouraged. But I start praising God, start trusting and praying by the Spirit. And all of a sudden, there'll be a laugh that'll come out of your belly. And your mind is saying, are you stupid? There is nothing to laugh about. There's nothing to have a smile on your face about. But all of a sudden, because you trust God and you trust the Holy Ghost in you and you start working that will come and it will what? It will change the feeling. It will change the fact into the truth by faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. Where was I at? Anybody know? Okay. Verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Come on. This is another witness to us that because of Jesus Christ, we have a relationship with the Father, and He's not some God that is a Father that cannot be touched, but He's right there with you and I. And we're one. That means that everything that you question, everything that you deal with, everything that you encounter, Jesus, who walked in the same flesh that you're walked in, He's done encountered that. He's done dealt with that. He has a measure of understanding to give. He has full measure, but He has a measure of understanding to give us that will get us through it. One. One. So you just tell the devil, no, I am one with the Lord. I've been baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. There's one baptism. My faith is in Him. That's one faith. It's in nothing else. It's not in my own self, my own works, my own ability, my own understanding. He saved me and He said He would not let me fall. Right. Amen? Amen? And I'm going to hold on to that. This is the Savior's solution for separation. Amen? We could go on, but I'll quit right there. Now, why are we talking about this tonight? Because you and I, in this coming year, being in the place where God's going to bring an anointing to influence all of your world and all of my world, when something is influenced, it either accepts it or it rejects it. And so acceptance is sweet and wonderful, but sometimes there may be some rejection before there is acceptance. Amen? But that doesn't change who you are or what you've been called to do, and that doesn't cause you to give up on people. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, you look all through the New Testament, when they encountered things, the devil was always there to try to hinder, try to stop. And so he's going to try to hinder you. He's going to try to stop you. But he can't stop the mighty moving force of the church of the living God. And he can't break what God has placed in you. Amen? But you got to be able to stand strong and tell him that. And you got to draw strength from your brothers and sisters. We need each other. Amen? There's only one church. Many church buildings, but only one church. Jesus is building that, and he's adding daily to that such as should be saved. And so we need to be one with each other. And I'll close with this thought. There was a man, a father, that was dying. He'd lived a long life. He'd been blessed in many ways. He had a problem trying to get his sons to be unified. And so upon his death, he had called them and told them, you know, what he was going to require of them. And so when he was on his deathbed, all of his sons come, and they were squabbling and fighting among themselves. And much as we've seen with the disciples with Jesus, one was asking who's greater and who's better and all of these things. I mean, flesh is flesh. Nothing has changed from the beginning of time. But he listened to them, and then he divided the inheritance between all of them equally. And he wanted to leave something with them before he left this earth. And so he had had one of his servants to tie together a bundle of you know, we'd call them sticks. In India, they had a certain name for it. I can't recall right off the top of my head what it is. But he had them tied in a bundle, and he had each son to pick up that bundle. And he said, I want you to break it. And none of the sons went from the eldest to the youngest. None of them could break it because all of these sticks were bundled together. And then he had the eldest son to take the cord that had them together, take it off. And then he said, now start breaking the sticks. And each one of them, they picked up a stick. And of course, they broke easily. And he said, do you understand what I'm telling you? And then he gave up the ghost and he died. He went to heaven. But the point was that if they worked by themselves, they were going to break themselves. You understand? But together, when the cord of Jesus Christ, the cord of the love of God, puts us together, you cannot be broken. When it says that we're held together by the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that's the ligament. That's why not one bone of Jesus was broke, because the ligament of peace, He is peace. It could not allow the bones to become separated and become weak. Come on now, you and I, it's all by Him. It's all because of Him. And we've got to let this peace of God that passeth all understanding, we've got to let it hold us together. The devil wants your peace because he has no peace. But he ain't going to get it because Jesus gave it to you and it's yours. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this time that you've allowed me to have with your people in your presence. Lord, I love them. Me and Donna are so grateful and so thankful that you have gave us this opportunity for all of us to be together in this place. Thank you for it. Lord, I ask right now that you would just speak into the heart of every person and let them just be encouraged. If there's any area in their life where it seems like the affliction has grown greater and stronger, let them hear tonight that because Jesus didn't break, we're not going to break. Let every person just be built up and encouraged, and let them have an unction that they can take this truth to wherever you would lead for your glory. Thank you for it, Father. We magnify your name. We lift your name on high. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you that we are one. Help us tonight to be able to hear and to be able to decree what your word says, to change our feelings, to change facts by the faith of the word of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar, or make yourself an altar to cheer, whatever you choose to do. But I encourage you tonight, if there's anything in your life that you need shored up, that you need a word of truth, that you need to see that you are more than a conqueror, that you do have victory, would you take it to Jesus tonight? Let Him speak that in your heart. Because I want you to leave here so empowered by the Spirit of God. I want you to leave here so encouraged that you are one that is for you tonight. Amen. Great things are coming, and you're going to be a part of it. It's part of the plan and the will of God. Amen. Let it be. Hallelujah.